Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for our time together tonight. I ask, Lord God, that you would come, that your Spirit would come and be our teacher tonight. Impart the words, Lord God, of wisdom and knowledge and understanding deep within us. Lord God, that the veils would be brought down and we would see the truth. And that truth, Lord God, would set us free. Settle things around us, Lord, that we might focus wholly upon the word of the Lord and our time of prayer. It's a crucial season. Let us tread lightly and deliberately. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name, amen. Last week I shared with you about the media and a little bit of technical information and along with the legal reasons why the media is allowed to do what they do. When our founding fathers wrote our Constitution, their heart in us having freedom of the press would be that the press would be the watchdog of the government. And during Obama's reign, he made sure that that was completely flipped around and that the media, the press, became the voice of the cabal. So when President Trump entered office, he entered office into a situation and circumstance where the media, the force, the weight of the media was turned against him. And he spent years persecuted, even today, continuously persecuted by the very media that was supposed to speak the truth to the American people, keep an eye on things for the American people, so we could make sure that the government was not growing and expanding in such a way that it would take over our lives. And I think if we take a step back, we would recognize how much the media has controlled our lives. In September of 21, the Lord gave me a vision, and it's the eagle, the flag, and the weights. And that's on our website. I sent it out in a link this week. I encourage you to read it because that's what we're battling, those five weights. And over the next several weeks, I'll be tackling those to help bring understanding so we can pray effectively against them. But tonight, I want to give you some tools that you can put before you, you can utilize in this fight to take our nation back. For as we fight to take America back, we are rising up against tyranny. And as we do, my friends, this stance will break the back of tyranny off of us, and it will ripple around the world. This is the last stand right here. So when we say this is a critical time, it's a crucial time, it's a pivotal time, We just can't find a word that tells us how serious it is and how important your involvement is as an intercessor. One of the things that we've seen over the course of the last 2 years especially is the rise of the intercessors. The intercessors set everything aside to hear the voice of God and pray according to His will. That's our goal, that's our purpose, that's what we live for. To stay before His throne. So I thank you for all you do. I thank you for your faithfulness. In January of 2020, the Lord told me, this is the power of the media, and then I'm going to go into some tools, okay? The Lord told me, He woke me up from a dream. I was getting ready to go to to the GOE. It was our last GOE we had. It was in Portland, January 14th, 2020. And I woke up from a dream, and in that dream, I received a press release that President Trump had lost the election. Not that he had lost the election, but that he was declared the loser because of election interference and media influence. Without the media, 2020 never would have happened. Without the media, what we've seen with COVID never would have happened. Without the media, what we're seeing in our economy right now would never have happened. That's the power of the media. When we look at the media today, you think, well, why would they want to do this? Why would they target me like this? Why would they target conservatives this way? Because they're bought and paid for by the cabal. And if this is your first time with us, you're going to have to go back and listen to some other calls to understand who the cabal actually are. This is our fight. But God uses the few to overcome the works of the most evil. That's the beauty of who God is. So as we move forward in the coming months, I want you to know that God wants to unlock something in your life. He wants to unlock a new level of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and discernment so that you can look at what you look at and know the truth. So that you can listen to someone and you can cut right through the deception that they're releasing and know the truth. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and you just know that you know they're lying? They look you directly in the eyes and you know they're lying to you. You feel it in your spirit. This is not a hunch. It's something you know in your spirit, man. This is what I'm talking about. A knowing in your spirit, man. If we don't have the tools that God wants to present us, if we don't bow the knee and call upon Him for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, discernment, we can very easily be led astray. When President Trump first was elected, within a few months, and I'm speaking to alternative media sources here for just a moment. When he was first elected, within a few months, someone sent me a link of an hour and a half long video. And in that video, this person had compiled every connection President Trump had with the Jewish community. And through that, he had created a storyline that President Trump was a Zionist. Over the course of President Trump's time in office, that narrative had been spun so tightly that when it was over, this individual sent me another email. Now, they had been sending me emails with certain information. And I said, what you're hearing isn't truth, and I encourage you to pull away from it. Pull away from this. This is not what the Lord is saying. Pull away from this. But by the time it was over, the narrative that they had been sucked into was that he was the Antichrist. Because of how he sought to unify or bring peace, negotiate peace in the Middle East, so we could stop these endless wars over oil and between Israel and the neighboring nations. It wasn't one that was going to have them having dinner together every night, but it certainly was a peace treaty that would stop the rockets from raining down on Jerusalem at the beginning of Shabbat. And for 24 hours, it rained down on them. Were it not for the Iron Dome, Jerusalem would be destroyed. This would have helped. And this individual believes it, believes that he is the Antichrist. That's how dangerous even an alternative narrative can be, because the deep state implants people in these places. You think, how am I going to know what's going on? Well, God is trying to raise us up to be a people that hear the news from him, that hear what he wants us to hear, so we can pray according to his will. But how do we know? How do we know what's really going on? Well, Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I've shared this before, that 30 years ago, my mom told me to pray for wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and understanding. She said every day, pray for this, that God will grant you wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and understanding. These are among the most important, aspects of our faith, attributes that a Christian must have to navigate through this life. And so I did. And we can find those wrapped up in Isaiah chapter 11, in the seven spirits of God. Those are four of them. But in Ephesians, Paul, after learning of their faith, he tells them how he prays for them. Now, if Paul is telling the Ephesians how he prays for them, chances are the Ephesians are also going to pray for that same thing. And if Paul is praying for the Ephesians to have these things, then we also should be praying for this. I'll never forget when I was reading through Ephesians and I read this passage I'm about to read to you. And I went, oh, that's what my mom told me to pray for. It was like it just opened my eyes. And I said, oh, she got that from the Bible. And I thought, whoa, hark. And so, Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So how does he pray for them? Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So I'm going to do a little bit of word study with you, because I want you to see exactly what this means. Because when we understand, whether it's the Old Testament and we're studying the Hebrew, whether it's the New Testament and we're studying the Greek, when we understand the depth of the meaning of these words, we can grab hold of them. It can become a part of us. I'll never forget a movie I watched many, many, many years ago, and it was about a young woman who was blind. And she had been blind, and she was friends with a guy who just had recently become blind. And he was trying to describe to her colors and clouds. And he would say, clouds, you know, they're fluffy, they're white, they're billowy. And she said, I've never seen clouds. I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, what? How can you not know what I'm talking about? They're white. They're billowy. They're fluffy. And she said, I don't understand. And so he went and he got some big cotton balls and he put them in her hands. And he said, this is billowy. And as she squeezed those cotton balls and she put them up against her face, and she could feel the texture of them. She could feel how lightweight they were. She could squeeze them and feel how they were just this very delicate, feeling, soft, fluffy texture. And it clicked. It clicked inside her head, and she could have the image of what a cloud is. That's what I'm talking about. I want to unlock. When we study the Greek and the Hebrew, we are unlocking something within us. We're pulling back the veil that the translations, they said, okay, well, for this whole phrase, I'm going to give it one word. Now, our understanding in the English language of that one word may be one thing, but in the Greek or the Hebrew, there is a depth of meaning to it that is beyond what we can understand. It matters. There's significance to it. When we look at other languages, when we look at the Aramaic, or we look at Chinese, or we look at Korean, there's pictures that are painted. So when you look at the word, a picture is visible for you. You can see it, and it paints a picture. That same word, sounding, has a different image when it's written. It's artistic, and it gives you a visual of what they're meaning. That's what I'm talking about. So, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is Sophia. So if your name is Sophia, you know, it's already in your name, wisdom. Wisdom is Sophia. It's the art of using wisdom. This is divine and human information meant to convey and apply heavenly or divine plans. God speaks to us in pictures. He speaks to us with our understanding. He gives his understanding, his wisdom. He couples it with our life knowledge. How does he know? Well, because he's been watching you for as long as you've been walking this earth. So he knows what will connect to you. He knows what will speak to you. He knows what will grip your heart and help you to run toward Him. He knows what will tear down the barriers or break down the walls. He knows how to speak to you because He knows you through and through. So He gives us divine wisdom. He couples that with our human wisdom, and He helps us to see a picture of truth. Paul prays that they would have the spirit of wisdom. The more time we spend in prayer and in the Word, the greater the impartation of divine wisdom will be. The more time we spend in front of the television, reading casual books, the more human wisdom we will have. And time after time, as we allow that worldly side of things to be imprinted into our lives, the more we engage with that, the smaller the impartation of divine wisdom becomes. It begins to shrink until everything that we do is based on our human wisdom. We need divine wisdom to be the larger piece of the puzzle here. We need divine wisdom, His word and prayer, to be the larger part of our wisdom circle, if I may. Because we can take what He gives us and we can apply it according to His heavenly will. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught them how to pray. It was a very simple prayer. But it closed with, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If we're going to have His kingdom, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we need to spend a much larger part of our time in prayer and in the Word. Because as we do that, we will be drawing down from heaven His wisdom and releasing it in the earth. David Wilkerson, he passed away several years ago, but he knew how to use a sword. I love his messages. Because in the city of New York, the belly of the beast, as some would call it, he had every seat filled, balcony and the ground floor, with people hungry for truth. And he didn't get up there and sugarcoat anything. David Wilkerson said, "Folks, I love you, but I got to say, you got to get out from in front of that TV. Because that is just garbage, 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 garbage. And the more you put that garbage in you, the more you're going to spit that garbage out." Hundreds and hundreds of people heard that message, and they came back every week. He not only did that, he put it on tape, and he mailed it out to about 70,000 people every week. And they were hungry for more. He knew how to use the sword of the Word. And he cut through the garbage and released truth. He released truth. Why? Because he spent time with the Lord. He soaked in His presence. He worshiped. He spent time in the Word. And he took the message that was on the heart of God and he released it to the people. He loved them. He greeted them. He never judged them. People would come outside his church, and they would light up a cigarette as soon as they got around the corner. And he would address it in his church, never calling the individual out. He would go up and greet them and shake their hand. But he addressed the sin. Why? Because he loved them enough to try to break off of them that which would drag their soul to hell. He knew what it meant to call upon divine wisdom to deal with the human issue. We cannot sit in front of a TV and expect to get divine wisdom on how to deal with the very real human issues we're facing today. So the art of using wisdom is Sophia. That is wisdom. The next word, and we are really moving forward on time, aren't we? The next word is revelation. This word is apocalypse. This is revelation and unveiling. It's a particular manifestation of Christ, his will previously unknown because it was veiled or covered. With salvation, the veil is removed so that all can see alike what is revealed. As soon as we come to know the Lord, a veil is removed. And when that veil is removed, we can look at new believers. And they're hungry. They want to be in church every time it's open. They want to be at every single Bible study. They devour the Word of God. They don't know how to pray except to say, Lord, bless my food. I love you so much. Thank you for being my Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you. Amen. You know, their prayers are very simple. But their hunger for the Word, because the veil has been removed, opens them up to receiving greater and greater revelation. The more our revelation of God, the more expansive our prayer life will be. It's a beautiful thing that God does. The greater our word life, the more expansive and effective our prayer life. When he says to pray for the spirit of revelation, it's revealing the depths of Christ. People write and say, some write and say, I don't know how you can handle the visions you see, but some write and say, I wish the Lord would show me that. I wish he would speak to me like that. The more time you spend with him, the greater your opportunity for revelation to come forth. His desire is to reveal himself to you. His desire is for the intercessor to have heavenly wisdom to partner with their human wisdom. Remember, the heavenly wisdom must be bigger. Revelation of how to pray, what to pray, how to bring about his heavenly will here on earth. His greatest desire is that all of his children would be vessels through which his spirit, his ruach, could flow. And the more we avail ourselves to him, the greater that flow can be. The more we avail ourselves to him, the greater the flow will be. Wisdom and revelation allow us to look at someone and know the truth. Know the truth of what they're saying. And if it doesn't align with the divine and the revelation that God is bringing forth, alarm bells will start ringing. Our spirit will be stirred. We will know that we know that they are not telling the truth. So we will continue on. Revelation and the knowledge of Him. Knowledge. Knowledge is epigenosis. It's precise and correct knowledge, especially of His holy will and of the blessings He continuously bestows on men through Christ. The blessings He continuously bestows on men through Christ. As I look at this word and I see how Paul was crying out for them to have that wisdom and that revelation in the knowledge of Him, I could see how through this correct knowledge, understanding His will, it only comes about by being in His presence. We can look at our nation and say, what's Your will for this nation, Lord? What is Your heavenly will for this nation? I'll tell you what His heavenly will is, for this nation to turn its heart back to God. And the prayers of the saints are paving the way for that very thing to take place. We cry out for revival. We cry out for revelation. We cry out for His glory to pour out. It's the intercession of the saints aligned in unity, crying out to God for Him to pour out His knowledge of who He is and what His will is, that opens up the window, that opens up the windows of heaven for Him to rise from His lofty throne and pour Himself down upon our nation. His greatest, His highest desire is to send forth His glory in this earth. And if we prayed nothing but for Him to send forth His glory in the earth, if we repented for the bloodletting and we cried out for His glory to come, we would see a mighty wave. And it is coming, my friends. But if a person was just new to intercession and that's all they cried out for, He would hear their prayers and it would be according to His will. The more we know Him, how do we know Him? Through His Word and spending time in His presence. Through His Word and spending time in His presence. The more we know Him, the more effective we are, not only as an intercessor, but of discerning deception. I think back to those emails I mentioned a few minutes ago that came to me, and I saw the path of deception this person was on. And I cried out for them to pull away because I knew that I knew they were falling into a deceptive trap. But they would not heed the warning. It's such a simple thing. President Trump or Clinton. Someone who stands and applauds as a man legalizes abortion, all the way up to the moment a woman goes into labor, and even if when she's in labor she decides she wants to have an abortion, that doctor can legally kill that baby on the spot. A woman who stands and applauds a governor who will sign that in his state, or a man who says, life begins at conception. I feel that's a pretty simple, clear-cut delineation between good and evil, God's choice and man's choice. But when you fall into deception, it's a slippery slope, and the enemy grabs hold and helps you on the path. Verse 18, Ephesians 1. Why does he pray this? So that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So he wants them to have the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, the spirit of knowledge, and that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. This phrase, the eyes of your understanding, this means it's through the eye, and you are literally looking from side to side, all the way from the left to the right. You are surveying the entire landscape of a situation using critical thinking, which has been whittled away from our youth. And through reasoning that the more time you spend with God, the more godly your reasoning is, incorporates both sides of a matter to reach a conclusion. So that the eyes of your understanding, your use of critical thinking, would be enlightened. This word enlightened is photizo, and it's God sharing his light, his life, exposing and overcoming darkness. This phrase right here in some manuscripts is translated that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. The eyes of your heart would be enlightened. That you look fully through a matter, from right to left, using critical thinking, using the other tools that I've talked about today, and through the help of God, because you spent that time with him, to gain the revelation, to gain the wisdom, to gain the understanding, he has already put the answer, the understanding in your heart, so that when you see the truth, it pricks your heart and you are ignited. You ever listen to a worship song and your spirit man begins to stir so much, you either want to jump, you want to fall on your face, you want to cry out to God. You feel like you could step into the throne room of God. That's because your heart, in that moment, the eyes of your understanding of who God is, all you want to do is worship him and be as close to him as you possibly can. The eyes of your heart have been enlightened, or had that brilliant light shining down upon it. And you are drawn like a moth to the flame. You are drawn into his marvelous light. You think, well, this is just about prayer. No, this is about coming to an understanding with true discernment, true wisdom, true knowledge, so that when you hear something, your heart is either grieved or your heart is ignited. But truth has cut through all of the confusion, all of deception. I shared this with our group of Chinese intercessors. I said, I asked the Lord, why do we have to go on a 30-year journey to get to the place today where we know when someone is speaking the truth, where we can have a conversation with someone, and the Lord right then and there unpacks their life to you, unpacks the deception they're trying to paint for you. Why do we have to go through this? Why can't you just cut through it all and let us see it the moment we get saved? And this is quite graphic, but I'm going to tell you what he said. He actually showed it to me. I had a vision, and he came, and he took a sword, and he sliced clear through the center of me, exposing my heart. And I said, Lord, that was very graphic and dramatic and nearly traumatizing. And he said, that's why it's a gradual process. That's why the more time you spend with me, the greater you come to know me. That's why I cannot do it so quickly, because people would be so traumatized, they wouldn't be able to go on. But the more time they spend with me, the more time they spend in my word, the more I will impart my wisdom, my knowledge, my understanding, my discernment on a matter. And when they see anything that's set before them, they will know the truth. And it will stick to them like glue. They will grab hold of it and run with it. And they won't allow deception to get in there and sway them from it. Because when they look at something that has just a slight bit of deception in it, they'll flee from it. Because I reside in their heart. So the eyes of their heart, they're looking at things through my eyes and not their own. If we want to make it through these next several months, my friends, we have got to stop looking at things through our flesh and our own understanding and start looking at them through the eyes of our heart, through His eyes. Because He will speak the truth. He will give us the discernment. He will give us the understanding. He will give us the revelation straight from the throne room of God. And when the media goes out there making their billions of dollars on what they're doing, we're going to look at them, and when they're trying to spew out lies about this issue or that issue, all we're going to do is see dollar signs in their eyeballs and know who's paying you to say that. Because you are continuing your path of deceiving the American people, and I will not stand for it anymore. And as they speak lies, you will decree and declare the truth of God's word about an issue. God's plans and purposes for this nation is to see Roe versus Wade overturned. God's plans and purposes for this nation is to see the bloodletting come to an end. God's plans and purposes for this nation is to see His revival pour out across the nation. His glory rain down on us until we are so saturated in it. When we come into contact with somebody, we're just going to ooze the glory of God all over them. They won't even want to try to deceive you. We must pray for Him to grant us these things. Because when we walk in them, His Spirit guides us. We look at things through His eyes. So when someone tries to describe something to us, they don't need to hand us a handful of cotton balls. Because we already know. Because He's imparted the knowledge and the discernment on that issue. It's time we utilize the tools that have been given in His Word. That's how we fight the media.